Hello, class, and welcome to the 22nd episode of A Plus Anime. I am your teacher, Ian Frischel, and as always, this is my TA, my Australian friend, my heterosexual life mate, Nato Johnston. How are you?
Wait, can we be just a little bit more than that?
Oh, I mean, after I watch your anime, all things are possible. You know, and I'm open to all possibilities.
Hello, all. It's me, your boy, Nate.
Your boy, Nato. So, Nato, how are you, buddy? Before we even do any more of the description, just how are you in general? How's life?
I'm good. I've been a bit sick. Got a bit of the case of the man flus. But apart from that, I'm A-OK.
What is a man flu?
You know.
And are you A-OK or are you A-plus OK?
I'm A-plus OK. Well, actually, no. I'm still got like a bit of a blocked nose. I don't know if the listeners can hear it in my voice, but I've still got a bit of a blocked nose. But apart from that, I'm good.
Oh, no.
You know, it's that thing, like the man, like when a girl gets the flu, she's all like, psh, the flu, it's all right. But when a guy gets the flu, he's like, I'm dying.
Oh, that's okay. I've never heard of that
before. Yeah, that's the man flu. Yeah.
I thought it was going to be this thing where it's like, when the men have the flu, we're manly about it. It's the complete opposite.
Yeah, it's
the
complete
opposite.
Like, yeah, there are a bunch of like young childs that are dying. That need their mother.
Hey man, it's 2017. Men can be vulnerable. This is the future.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you didn't know, and you're listening to this episode, it'd be kind of weird. But if you didn't know, on this show we take the top rated anime and test them to see if they get an A plus or an F, and we try to learn a little bit in the process. So on today's podcast, on our 22nd episode, we'll be discussing everything from our season 2.
The beach
that we've
arc.
Had just now. Yeah, the beach arc. Yeah, so the beach arc. So what was the first arc we decided? Was that the introductory arc?
Yeah, that was the character introduction arc. That was introducing and then we just had our characters.
So then we had the beach season, which is this season.
Yeah, I took my friend Ian down to the beach and showed him some anime that he was like, I don't know if I like that anime. But now he's all like, I've come back from the beach and I love these anime.
So then, does that mean that Yuri on Ice was like the sunset and you were like, hey, Ian,
yes, for sure.
And then that's when you reveal your true feelings to me?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, just so I'm just making sure
that was the same sunset scene where like everyone's leaving the beach and it's beautiful and it's like the pinnacle of the beach like arc.
Is that? And then that was Yuri on Ice.
Yeah.
So speaking of Yuri on Ice, I'm going to parlay into like what I did this week, which is, guys, for the first time ever, I watched more of the anime that we watched last week.
I'm so
I
proud.
Watched.
Finally,
I know.
Finally.
I finally did it.
God.
Ironically, the week where I had the most stuff to do, I actually sat down and like watched more of Yuri on Ice, which is very telling to how good that show is.
God, I know. Because like every good anime that we've brought up, I'm like, Ian, please watch more of this. And you're like, yeah, I will. And then we get to the next week and you're like, didn't watch anything.
And it's crazy because like even if I had like nothing to do, literally I'm sitting on my ass for an entire week, I still wouldn't watch it.
Yeah.
But this week we had to rearrange our entire apartment. I moved back to Tokyo last week. So we're still like moving stuff around. I started school.
Yeah.
If you don't follow me on Twitter, if you don't know me personally, three days ago on the 10th, I started school officially full-time as a Japanese language student. So I'm learning Japanese full-time for real. So like this podcast ain't no joke anymore. We're going to the next level, baby. We went from the dream of being a Japanese school kid, and now here I am. I'm a Japanese schoolgirl now.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Whenever you think of me, imagine me in a dress, in a student uniform. I'm looking like Sailor Moon 24/7
out here. Oh
my God.
On that note, I saw, like, a couple of days ago, I saw cosplay for, God, I can't remember her name, the invisible chick in My Hero Academia.
Yes, I did. I also saw that.
Did you see the ones that came out more recently? Same cosplayer, but they're more, like, very more provocative ones. And it's, like, you can see, like, upskirt, but it's still, she's still invisible. And it's
invisible,
just,
yeah.
It's just weird.
I thought it was, okay. So for people that don't remember, in My Hero Academia, there's a character, we both forget her name, but her power is that she's invisible.
Yeah.
So in the anime community, a lot of people do like different cosplay shoots. And like sometimes, you know, especially like some more models now recently have been doing more like risque modeling with like anime characters, video game characters, etc. So I guess it was a meme to me. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh man, it
that
was.
They took this invisible character and then like, I guess made her into like a... more sexualized being, but she's invisible, so it's nothing. She's wearing a morph suit essentially, and you can't see anything. Yeah. So I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, I love
Nader
that too.
Did too.
Yeah.
So other than doing Japanese school, moving, doing all these things, like getting my entire life together, going to government buildings every other day, life has been grand because Yuri on Ice is now in my life. So
I'm so happy. Because like, remember when I was watching it for the first time and I was messaging you, like having the same kind of like rapport that you're having right now back to me. And it's just like, God, that show, it really is. Like I wasn't hyping the episode up when I said, this is one of those anime that comes around like every once in a while that like, it just does something that you're like we've covered a lot of great anime, like great, like Mushishi is just amazing and stuff like that. But like, there's just something about Yuri on Ice. It has that X factor in it that I'm just like, oh, and like, it's got you.
It's the writing.
Yeah.
I know exactly what the X factor is for me. It's the writing.
Yeah.
Like
it wasn't,
the thing about
the
me is that like,
wasn't
yeah.
for me. It wasn't just the writing for me though. I don't know what it is that on Yuri.
I mean, there is character there. There is like a lot of soul in that show.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about more animes than just Yuri on Ice, obviously. But the thing about that for me is like that it's smart. Like, and I think that's the thing that I respect most about it more than anything else, that like, so for context, one of my favorite anime of the past few years has been Kuroko no Basuke. And that show is designed in such a way for girls, for the whole shipping culture, for like, oh, I want Murasaki Bara or like this character who is a boy to like be in a gay relationship with this other boy, even though it's not, that doesn't ever happen in the show.
Yeah.
So that is and I'm not sure if that's only in Japan, but it's very, very big in Japan where they're, boy characters are paired off in merchandise and stuff like that so that girl characters can have these fictional ships be real to them, right?
Yep.
And after knowing that, after we watched Yuri, I was like, oh, that's exactly what the show is going to be. It's going to be shallow. It's going to be like, oh, the boys fall in love and that's it. That's all it's going to be. And like that was my expectation going into it. But then to go into it and realize that, no, the writing understands that you expect that and then completely subverts that expectation. And on top of that, it gives you a story that is compelling, that is emotional, that like is multi-layered, that talks about very difficult issues like mental health and like there's a whole subplot about Yuri having unhealthy eating habits because he has like depressive bouts, like because of his competitiveness.
Yeah.
Like that's like, you can't even get that in a normal television show that's an hour long, you know?
Because Christian mentioned that in the, when our friend Christian Pixel Brave, we have a small little like group chat with him about anime and stuff like that. And
shout out to him, by the way.
Yeah. He complained about that in the first episode where there's a lot of body shaming, but I'm like, you'll see later on, it's not really to do with body shaming. It's more like he got fat because he was depressed, not, oh, you shouldn't be fat, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh no, we're showing he put on a lot of weight because he got depressed and he started eating a lot and stuff like that. It's more,
yeah, he has an unhealthy relationship with food. And the thing is, I mean, like, again, I'm not very close to that culture, the ice skating culture, right? But I know there definitely is stigma in that culture with being overweight, obviously.
Even Japan,
it's a part
in
of the
general.
Sport.
Even Japan in general.
Yeah, that like, as well, yeah.
Like, yeah, offices and stuff like that, you can get fired if you get too overweight and all that. Because, like, they like their workers to be healthy and stuff like that. And, yeah, it's a very big culture.
It is
in
definitely
Japan.
A cultural thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving on to, like, what we actually are here to talk about, which is the anime
season
we
two.
Talked about this season. Yeah. But before we do that, once again, I have to remind you guys, any feedback, please tweet us at OKBeastNow or our personal Twitters, obviously, with the hashtag A+Anime. Or if you want, you can also email me at Ian@OKBeast.com. And of course, I'm asking you guys so much, but seriously, if you have a minute, please leave us a review on iTunes because you know what? It helps other people find the show and check out great anime because that's the whole point of the show is to just talk about cool anime. Mm. And on that note, talking about great anime, let's run down the list this season of what we watch from the first episode of the season to the last. So, Nato, do you want to run through the list of every anime we talked about?
Do we want to just do one by one?
Well, I just want to write down or say at the top what the shows were,
right,
and then we'll go piecemeal, piece by piece.
All right. So, episode one of this season, we did Gurren Lagann, one of your all-time classics. Next,
it's true.
Next, we did Hajime no Ippo, which is Gurren Lagann is the futuristic drill related God, how would you describe Gurren Lagann?
Like, it's a mecha.
A mecha. Yeah, mech one.
It's like a Dai Henshin mecha, like transforming robot mecha.
Yeah. All right. And then second episode we did a personal one of mine, which is Hajime no Ippo. It relates a lot to my like pastimes through my life, a lot of martial arts and all that, but it's a boxing anime where a young kid gets bullied a lot and gets inspired after he sees a guy kind of rescue him from some bullies, and he wants to feel what it is to be strong in his life, so he starts along the line of a boxing career. Third episode, we did the psychological thriller Death Note. A super intelligent high school kid gets a book that if he writes a name on it, that person will die within 24 hours from a heart attack unless specified otherwise. For fourth episode, we looked at My Hero Academia, the new big hit superhero.
The new hotness, also known as Boku no My Hero Academia, also known as Green Naruto, also known as Macadamia.
Oh, can I say, for side note for 2 seconds, Black Clover, Harry Potter, Naruto, fucking good.
Magic
two
Naruto.
In. Yeah, Magic Naruto at the moment, second episode in, really loving it.
So I'm taking over from you from now on, Nato. Let me do the rest. Right. So episode after My Hero Macadamias was Sword Art Online, the show about the people who get trapped inside of an MMO. And I'm not sure if this is true or not, but did this show spark the initial like wave of anime after the fact of people getting trapped in MMOs? Or was that like a thing that already happened?
I think it was more like an Apple iPhone kind of thing. Like, there were a whole bunch of ones that did it before it, but they were the one that were really like, oh, everyone
popularizing
stopped,
it.
Everyone stopped and looked at, because there were things like Log Horizon, Hack, Dot Hack, and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, Dot Hack came out like in the 90s. I forgot about that.
Yeah, there's all these ones.
I loved Dot Hack too.
Exactly. There's ones that came out before it.
Cool. So I didn't think about that until just now. That's a good topic. So one after that was Kill la Kill, the show about
in
the
your
weird
face.
Futurist in your face show about like this weird dystopia, but where like school uniforms give you powers, with the racy fan service used as a weapon, that sort of thing, with the main character Ryuko with the red hair, if you remember her. After that, we had One Punch Man, the super popular parody show. They're a parody show about superheroes, about a bald guy who every time he punches an enemy, they explode and they kill him. So awesome show. Loved that one. After that, we had Attack on Titan, also known as Shingeki no Kyojin, which is obviously they attack the Titans being these giant
humanoids.
Naked humanoid creatures, that eat people. Super dark. And then last one, the pinnacle, Yuri on Ice, which we just talked about for a little bit in the beginning, which is three characters and their careers through ice skating and how they face different adversity, I suppose.
Yeah, Rocky on Ice.
Rocky on Ice. I think the more I'm watching it, the more I'm realizing that that is kind of an interesting way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
So, again, that was our episodes in chronological order. So, again, without stopping, Gurren Lagann, Hajime no Ippo, Death Note. Oh, we forgot Food Wars. We completely skipped over that one.
Yeah.
So, sorry, after Death Note was Food Wars. Again, Food Wars is the show about how you can make food that gives people orgasms, and it's about a young boy who wants to be the best chef in the world. That's what I got from it.
Side note, started watching another one very similar to that, Restaurant to Another World. Really good as well. It's literally like every 7 days, a door opens up in a whole bunch of doors open up in a D&D like fantasy world that if anyone goes through that doors, they come to this like Western style Japanese restaurant where a dude cooks. And that's, it's really weird. Huh. It's so good though.
I'm
going to
say it once
the other week.
I'm going to say this once and I'm going to say it again multiple times. The reason why I love anime so much is that shit is just fucking weird and no one questions it. It's like, hey, we're going to have a show about Buddha and Jesus hanging out. And then the entire anime world is like, fuck yeah, dude.
Do you know how much I laughed when that came up on Witty Banter? Because as you said, I'd literally just watched it like a week or two before that. And then it come up. I was like, no way.
Yeah, I had a huge smile on my face because I was like, I knew that one. Also, shout out to those guys, the Witty Banter guys, Witty Banter podcast. I was on there recently talking about my experience about living in Japan and anime and stuff.
One
like
of their
that.
Boys
so have,
may be on here. You may see one of them in the
possibly,
next arc coming up.
keep your ears wide open. Anyway, so after Food Wars, we had My Hero Academia, Sword Art Online, Kill la Kill, One Punch Man, Attack on Titan, Yuri on Ice. So now, if you didn't already know, these episodes are kind of just a rundown of how we thought about each episode and like our tier list kind of for the season overall. Yes. So now, Nato, I have a different list than we had last time. I actually have two separate lists. So I want you to go first since your list is most likely going to be the most normal. So give us your top, or you want to go bottom to top or top to bottom?
I'll start at bottom. So
go for it. Number 10.
So this is funny because the two episodes we weren't on for this season is probably the two anime we both put at number 10.
Okay.
So the episode I wasn't on was the Death Note episode. So
okay.
So let me start by saying Death Note is a really good anime. Like, it really is. It's just I just don't like Light. Like, he starts.
Light, you got me.
Yeah, I don't like his character, like, arc where he becomes this like insane criminal, like self-destructive personality. Like,
okay.
In season one, we did this show called Code Geass. The main character in that, Lelouch, he is how I wish Light's arc kind of went, where he, because Light is very set up as a super intelligent person. So I really wish halfway through he found a way to do the right thing while still doing his ultimate plan, but do it in an evil way, technically.
So did you, this is a side tangent, did you ever like Breaking Bad?
I got bored of it halfway through Breaking Bad.
Because people make a lot of connections between Breaking Bad and Death Note.
Yeah, and I bored of... actually, no, I watched all of Death Note. I didn't watch all of Breaking Bad because I got over it.
And again, I might be making a false assumption here, but people usually in the anime community connect to those two shows because it's about a character that is doing a bad thing for... It's like the ends justify the means, essentially.
For a good reason, but then about
again, quote-unquote good reason, yeah.
Yeah, and then halfway through, they stop doing the good reason and just fall into this abyss and stuff like that, which...
More so in Breaking Bad than in Death Note, because Death Note, he says specifically, I'm going to cleanse the earth, which is never usually a thing that character ever says.
Yeah, but he's cleansing it to make it a better world and stuff like that.
Supposedly, yeah. I mean, like, again, that's a whole different show.
Where he gets lost in the muck. Yeah. So that's what it just... Yeah, Light is the whole reason why I don't really rate that anime as high as... Like, I always say, if you're into anime, go watch Code Geass instead. Because Lelouch is a way better Light. He starts for the doing bad things for the good reason, and by the end finds a way to do it all, but then sacrifices himself to create this new world that he wants, while Light does not. In the end, he becomes self-inflicting to...
Spoilers. Don't spoil anything for the good people.
Yeah.
What you're saying is you overall just don't like the journey of the one character, but you like the Code Geass character better.
Yeah. I wish Lelouch was in Death Note. I would have liked to see how that panned out, how Lelouch would have figured it out by the end to create this new world without becoming the ultimate villain.
Whoa. All right. So I recently have been playing Mario and Rabbids. I swear these are related. What if halfway through Death Note, Code Geass, imagine they're in the same universe.
Yes.
Like,
I know where you're going.
Code Geass
this,
cross Death Note. I want that. I want that as like a show. Because they're opposing ideologies while still using these weird means. I feel like that would be an interesting show. Yeah. Anyway, run down your list, Nato. And then if you have any specific things you want to mention, then stop.
Yeah,
I want to hear number 10 to 1 first.
Yeah, I was just going to say Death Note because I wasn't on that episode. So I thought I'd voice my opinion of Death Note. But next up is Attack on Titan. I really, really enjoy Attack on Titan. It is... Man, like, we both just said about this out like this. Like, pretty much from 4 to 9, I could shuffle around really easily. Like, super easily.
Mm-hmm.
And Attack on Titan, it just... It has a lot of... it has a lot of cons to it that puts it lower than the rest of the things on this list. But, man, it is really good if you want a psychological thriller, that a bit of horror, and... Man, it's such a well-written, like, mystery anime, and it's really good. I love Attack on Titan. So number 8, it's gonna hurt Ian a bit, but Gurren Lagann. Gurren Lagann was really good.
I understand from the one episode. I definitely agree that it's
It's an anime that I wish I watched when I was a lot younger. Like, it just doesn't resonate as with me as much, but it is still an amazing anime. Its art style is amazing. I love the characters. Not the main dude. What's the taller friend of the three?
The taller friend? What do you mean?
Of the three main characters. The taller guy.
Yoko, Kamina, and Shimon.
Yeah. What?
Kamina.
Yeah, Kamina. Kamina is 100% me in real life. That is me, the character, for sure. I've never seen another character that's been me in my life than Kamina. But so that's a great anime. I love that one. What do we got? So we got 7. Kill la Kill. Kill la Kill. God, it's just in your face. Fan service turned up to 11, because I've mentioned it many times in this anime. Fan service always turns me off. unless it's done right. And this just does it right in a way that I would never imagine, where like they just do it nearly as a weapon. And not only do they do it to the female characters, they make the male characters. There's literally a faction in there called the Nudist Party that's run by a dude. And when he's talking, sometimes he will casually just get naked. Like, while mid-sentence, you just start undressing. And you're just like, what is going on? And, like, I love that characters react to the fan service as well. Like, usually in fan service, no other character reacts to it. But the characters are like, why are you
very
naked?
Meta. Meta references.
Yeah. All right. Up next is Sword Art Online. Had the most beautifulest conversation with Alex about this. Alex, that is his favorite anime of all time. And, God, it has its negatives. Like, I will be the first one to say anyone that dislikes Sword Art Online, they're fully justified in their opinions, because it does have a lot of lows. But it's a risky anime. Like, it does things that, like, that's why I reward it a lot more, because the things it risks, when it does risk things, it pays off intensely. The first half of season one is some of the best, like, anime in a long time, that, like, nearly jumps around kind of, nearly Tarantino-like storyline in the first episode, in the first half of that season. But then second half of the season has like the terrible like princess in a castle kind of storyline. And then
Woman in the refrigerator?
Woman in the refrigerator?
Oh, sorry. It's like a literary thing. I was writing that down just now. It's like, it's a thing where like there is a woman that a man has to earn as a prize, and people usually call that in literature woman in refrigerators.
Oh, I call it the princess in the tower, because they've got
that's also a good way of calling it. Yeah. So essentially it just means that there's like the female character is a goal for the male character and motivation for them to do something.
Yeah. Which is pretty sad after how like strong of a character she is in the first half of season one. They really like twist her character. And like, one of the most beautifulest love stories in all of anime to date for me. Kirito and that. All right, up next is One Punch. God, when parody is done right, like we shit on Gintama a lot in season one, but there is a big community for Gintama. Like, I'm not gonna fight with them on that. But I feel One Punch Man does parody right. It parodies superheroes, like the Superman archetype, and also just the crazy, crazy Shonen Jump like fights that you eventually get at the end of seasons of arcs and stuff, like where just like the whole world and cities
is exploding. Yeah.
Yeah. God, it's just so good. And it's incredibly smarter than it pretends to be. Like, it is intensely smart.
Yeah, right, definitely. It is definitely a deconstruction of what the superhero genre and like also the fighting anime genre is.
Just, big shonen animes in general.
Or maybe not deconstruction. Maybe it's more of a parody. I guess it's closer to a parody than a deconstruction. Yeah. But it is making fun of it and, like, making fun of these problems in both these genres. I feel like there's always that joke argument where, like, who would, in, like, the nerd community, like, who would win, Goku or Superman? So I feel like Superman. The creators of this were, like,
100%.
I mean, we're not going to have this argument, obviously. But, like, I'm saying that Saitama is like that joke taken to like the 1 billionth percentile, yeah, where like you almost took Goku and Superman and fused them together, and they, yeah, were like, who would win if you took those two characters and had them into one character? No one would ever win, and that's kind of the joke.
Well, that's why I say that. Superman, because Superman is Saitama. Like he's been around so long, they built him to this like OP character that just can't, like, he has literally moved a universe. Like, he's, like, tied a universe to himself and carried it. Like, that's how strong.
That's why we're going to leave the comics to the comic podcast, because I have no interest in talking about that.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, what's next?
Next up is Food Wars. Food Wars was just an anime that hit me out of, like, nowhere. Like, I'm a person that doesn't watch these cooking shows, like...
Food Network?
I like Food Network. Food Network's just cooking. Like, I mean, like, you know, the competition, like, they get a whole bunch of chefs into one room and...
You mean Iron Chef, which, yeah, is on the Food Network?
Well, shoot.
You mean Chopped, which is on the Food Network?
Yeah, more like Chopped. Well, we don't have... we've only just got the Food Network here, so...
Oh, okay. We've had that in the US for, like, a long-ass time.
But, there's those ones, like, where it's, like, a family, like, cooks in their home and stuff like that. Those kind of, like, competitive ones... Iron Chef's different. Iron Chef's like a comedy, really. It's not really serious and stuff like that.
I don't know. It looks pretty serious to me.
Nah, it's a comedy. Iron Chef. But that's pretty much what Food Wars is. Iron Chef. Like, it's like comedy and food and just the way they, like, I never thought somebody describing food in a cartoon would make me starving.
Mm.
Like, oh, man. And just... The characters, they've found a way to like make shonen like fighting competition into a food cooking show. It's amazing. It's really is amazing.
For sure. All right,
up next, we're into the top three now. So number three, My Hero Academia. This is one of the ones that like has.
What do you say? What is it? My Academia.
Oh God.
Green Naruto.
God.
Boku no My Hero Academia.
I hate you so much. My Hero Academia. This has taken the anime world by storm. Like, nearly as much as Yuri on Ice has. Because everyone who's watching anime is at least tried to watch My Hero Academia or is watching My Hero Academia. It is Naruto, One Piece, and all those with the fat cut out. And... Oh, Ian!
I'm sorry.
Ian's showing me this. What is it? Is it a notepad?
Yeah. So, sorry to cut you off, but recently, this past week, I went to a store in Tokyo called Tokyo Hands, and Tokyo Hands is like a store that sells like stationery. It's almost kind of like a Target.
Yeah.
Kind of. They sell everything. But one thing is that they had a collaboration with My Hero Academia.
Nice.
And
that's a good question that I want to ask you. Is it hitting Japan the same way it's hitting the Western world?
Dude, I just told you, they did a collaboration with fucking Target.
Yeah,
like,
Ian, you're talking to me who's been to Japan. They collaborate with fucking everything in Japan.
No, okay, but Tokyo Hands, and maybe I'm wrong here, maybe I'm off base, but like Tokyo Hands to me is like a store that like has a bunch of stuff in it, but like for you to get a collaboration like that, like seems like
pretty
crazy
big.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least for me, I think like they even had specific merchandise where like the characters were dressed up as Tokyo Hands workers and each floor had a different representative from the show.
Okay. So it is Bakugo, it is as big. Cause the last time
Bakugo was, I think he was a traveling, his traveling specialty. So he had a backpack on.
Nice.
Deku had stationery as his specialty. I think All Might had like cleaning supplies and he had like all this like cleaning supplies around him. But yeah, it was super cool.
Cause the last time I was in Japan, it was just at the time now they're oldish, but the new, Dragon Ball Z's were finally coming out, you know, like, what was it? Like the rebirth of before, what is
Gold
it?
Freezer?
Super came out. Yeah, Gold Freezer was coming out. So, like, there was just Dragon Ball everywhere at that stage. So I didn't get to see what the anime at the time was when I was there.
I get you.
So I think it was Slam Dunk, I think, was the most I saw here and there. Was Slam Dunk was still the last time I was in.
I mean, it's always popular. Slam Dunk is, like, the shit over here.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're not talking about Slam Dunk now. Moving
all right,
on.
Yeah, so My Hero Academia. Yeah, it's all those great, like, shonens with the fat cut out. They get straight to the point. It's very emotional. Great writing, great anime, like great like animation, some of the best action animation in recent years. So that's just a great. Now we're getting on to number two. Number two is a half biased, half I'm really at that stage now where I want people to go back and watch this because it was an anime that really was overlooked, but Hajime no Ippo. It is...
Okay.
I will still stand by this point, it is the best sports anime that's ever been out. Like, for sure. Like, it does what My Hero Academia does for the shonens for the sports genre. Like, it's very... No fat, no fillers... Beautiful emotion, great characters. Most fights, you'll be cheering for both sides. Like, you won't just be cheering, and not because Ippo's not the best, it's just because they develop the person he's fighting next as always amazingly. Even if it's a terrible character, they build this amazing story for him, and you're just like, oh man, he's such an asshole, but I still want him to win as well because, like, he has great reasons why he wants to win, and... They just do amazing stuff. And I really want people to try and find a way to watch Hajime no Ippo. Like, it is really good. And I wish it came out these days where a lot more people are watching anime rather than when it came out back in the day.
Don't get it twisted. Hajime no Ippo is still running. There's still stuff coming out. There's still manga coming out.
The manga is still one of the longest running manga nearly out
there. Like, besides One Piece, I can't think of any other one that's longer than that.
No, that's why it's sad that the anime... didn't really get going because, yeah, it was at a time when nobody was really watching anime. It was in that shitty bit between the 90s and the 2000s where, like everyone sort of dropped off for a little while of anime.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, what's your number one?
Number one, oh, of course. How is it not going to be Yuri on Ice? Like, I think I told Ian just before this podcast where, like, I wasn't joking when I said this is one of those anime that comes around every once in a while. Like, it does something special. Like, not like even if you take out what it's done for, like, the LGB community and stuff like that, or sports anime, or just fucking writing in general, just the beautiful misdirection that it not only does in its plot, in its story... Everything it does is just it doesn't do what you expect it to do in a good way. Like, it gives you what you need, not what you think you need. And it's just a great anime. And God, I love it. And I cried harder than I ever have in the two final episodes of that show than I have for a lot of things. So very emotional. It's great.
Nice. So I guess that means it's my turn.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go through each one first. I'm going to go through my list and then I'm going to say things specifically to each show. So, Nato, you're going to hate me. So number 10 is Sword Art.
Sword Art. Yep.
Online. I'm going to reserve my opinions for after the end.
Yep.
So number 9 for me is, again, so 9 to 1, we're talking like point whatever. Like, Sword Art for me is like a 7. Like, it does a lot of things that I don't like story-wise and like, it does a lot of things that I just don't like in general, but overall I do respect the people that do like it because anime is anime and like that's, you know, pushing this genre out no matter what you're watching, I feel like is still good. Yeah. Again, just not for me. I watched it at the time that it was coming out, but again, just not for me. So number 9 is Hajime no Ippo. Number 8 is Attack on Titan. Actually, no, we're going to switch that. Number 9 is Attack on Titan. Number 8 is Hajime no Ippo. Number 7 is Death Note. Now, I like changed half the shit halfway through you talking. Number 6.
I saw you writing stuff. Yeah.
Yes. So number 6 is One Punch Man. Number 5 is Food Wars. Number 4 is Yuri on Ice. Number 3 is Boku no Hero, My Hero, Macadamia, Green Naruto. Number 2 is Kill la Kill. And number 1 is Gurren Lagann.
Wow. So, number 2 is Kill la Kill? Wow.
Yes. So, okay. So here's the reason why. Yep. So there are some things on here that obviously are big standouts for me. And I wrote next to this list surprises. So here's the thing about media in general that I learned this beach season. When I was relaxing, like getting my suntan on the beach, I realized something. I had an epiphany. And that media doesn't change over the years. You do. The context yes. by which you're watching the media changes. So when I've tried to watch Kill la Kill the first time, it was right after I finished Gurren Lagann. I was in a place where I needed Gurren Lagann, And I feel like that's why that spot for me will never change. It is a fundamental thing in my anime watch list that will never move from that like top 1 to 5 spot. Because at the time, I mentioned it on the show before, that like I watched it at a time where I was in a very low point in my life. I didn't really know what to do. I didn't have confidence in myself. I didn't have confidence in the direction where my life was going. It was, I think, 3 or 4 months before I left for Japan. Before I actually like decided to like quit my job and then leave. So I was very much in this like weird amorphous state where I was like, I'm so confused, I'm so lost. And then one Saturday I woke up really depressed and I was like, all right, I'm going to watch this show. And just because someone suggested it to me. I don't even remember how the context. Actually, no, I was browsing through Netflix and I just randomly came upon it. And this show was like a gift from like an otherworldly being where it was like, hey, you're depressed. Shut the fuck up. Watch this thing. It's going to change your fucking life. And then like to have that main character, Shimon, not only be this like surrogate for the audience where it's like, hey, like Kamina is the surrogate for the anime as well, where it's like, hey, wake up, you can do it, I believe in you, don't believe in yourself, believe in me because I believe in you. Like these stupid lines that when you think about it don't make any fucking sense, but they really do in the moment. And like they just supercharged me and they gave me this like sense of purpose at the time that I really needed. And that's why it's never going to change. Also, upon like further research, it like deconstructs the mecha genre and like it does things actually in the same way that we kind of like Yuri on Ice, where it like subverts the expectation and kind of gives you this misdirect. It also does that later in the season. That's why Gurren Lagann will never change for me. And also Kill la Kill, the reason why I like it so much now is because I'm in a place now where I don't need that Gurren Lagann feeling. I need something different. I need something weird, right? I'm in a great place in my life. I need something out there and creative. And the reason why I didn't like Kill la Kill the first time is because I just wanted more Gurren Lagann.
It doesn't give you what Gurren Lagann gave you. Like, I can fully see that now. Like, it doesn't give you that, like, inspiration. Like, she has a good character arc. Like, don't get me wrong. And the villain I've talked about that has her own arc, she has an amazing arc as well. But it's not the same type of arc where, like, it's building of confidence that Gurren Lagann is.
Yeah, it's definitely not that same feeling. And I felt like I gave Kill la Kill this, like, I was like, oh, you're not Gurren, but you're made by the same studio. Why the fuck didn't they just keep on making more Gurren? Ugh. Yeah. And like gave this, it was like this shitty, like, I'm better than this attitude. But now, years later, I come back to it. And I'm like, wait, this is amazing. This is so cool. It has all the style of Gurren Lagann. And it just has a different feel, obviously. And it has this energy that is like very kinetic and very wild style, wild child to it, but it has just, it's trying to tell a different thing. And I didn't respect that at the time, but now I definitely do. My Hero Academia, I mean, I'm just gonna go from one down, I guess. So My Hero Academia, obviously super big in the anime space right now. It tells a lot of great story. It tells a lot of great character work. You know, my favorite character is Ida Tenya. We talked about that before, and he has a very emotional arc about his brothers. Fast boy, number one fast boy. Has a very good arc with his brothers. I have 3 younger brothers, and like there's obviously like family relationships as a big theme. Deku is probably one of the best characters in anime that I've maybe not that's the right way to put it. When I mean best, I mean he's relatable. He's someone that it's very easy to root for him, right? It's not this character where you're like, even Kamina, right? You're like, oh, Kamina, he's so great, but you know, he's kind of a shithead. You know, like there's no
even
like
someone
gray
like
area.
Naruto, like he's good to cheer for, but he was still just like,
he's a dumbass.
God, he was such a brat. Yeah, and a dumbass and stuff like that.
Like, Deku is strong. He's strong now because of the powers, but he was a good person before he got the powers. It's very akin to a Captain America situation.
And
where,
intelligent.
Like, and he's smart. He's got a good heart. He, like, cares about other people. He just wants to do best for the world, and he wants to make his father figure proud, right? Yeah. And like that's something that's easily relatable. And then obviously the cast of characters around Deku is so great. And like everybody, no matter who you are, you can find one character you can relate to, man, woman, whatever your preference, whatever, you can find someone you like. And obviously I connected a lot with Ida because of his sensibilities and his family character arc. So My Hero Academia is a great show. Obviously, also we were talking before about deconstruction. That deconstructs the superhero genre in a great way.
Yeah,
so
in a different way to One Punch Man.
Yeah, so my number 4 is Yuri on Ice, and here is why. I've talked about it a lot. I said that same thing with Kill la Kill. I went into it originally watching it with this shitty expectation of like, oh, it's just going to be this weird, like, flat thing where, like, it's just going to be like, you're a boy, kiss, whatever. I mean, to be fair, we need more of that, right? Because there's tons of shows out there that are just like, you're a boy, you're hot, you're a hot man, you're a hot woman, kiss, right? That's what, like, Twilight is, right?
Yeah.
But, like, we need more representation in media, I think, in general, right? But at the time when it came out, I was like, oh, it's overhyped. I don't want to deal with it. It's just fan service.
You think it's just pandering to that community and stuff like that.
Just to make money.
100% what I thought. Like, I thought it was like, oh, yeah, they're just doing a gay one just to kind of bank off, like, what's happening in the current society and stuff like that. But God, it's so much better.
Completely wrong. And it's this really well-written, nuanced story. That again, like I think you just said it, it's Yuri on Ice, the beautiful misdirect, and that's kind of what the show is all about. It doesn't give you that stereotypical thing; it gives you the exact opposite, in fact. And that's why I think it's one of my favorite shows, just because of how smart it's written. And then so again, I was talking about surprises, and this other show really surprised me: Food Wars. Food Wars, again, like you just said before, never thought that I would ever be like super into a show about cooking.
Yeah.
But like I was like, I watched that first episode and my hands were like, do it, man, do it. You can do it. I was very excited and into this character succeeding. And that's, I think, going to be my next show after I watch all of Yuri on Ice. After that, One Punch Man, we talked about that show to death. Great show. But I feel like these other shows deserve the higher titles just because of how they resonated emotionally with me this season.
Because One Punch Man does everything right. It just doesn't have that emotional tie to it because it is a parody rather than what My Hero Academia deconstructs the superhero genre, but it builds a story off that deconstruction.
While One Punch Man is
just like, look how funny this genre really is if you look at it and stuff.
It's like pretty dumb, right? Like that's why it's more satire than deconstruction. But I completely agree with you. It doesn't really give you that emotional attachment that My Hero Macadamia does. So Death Note, we talked about that a lot. Death Note, I think the reason why it's not the last on my list, even though the anime to me I didn't really connect with, the concept is so strong. It's a great concept.
Oh, it is. And it is great to show non-anime fans. This is one of the ones that you're like, oh, do you like this? Well, this is a good leap into anime.
Completely agree.
And
it's also what we said before, that anime has the opportunity to just do weird ass shit, and that's why I love it. And this is one of those things where you're like, wait, a guy gets a notebook from Satan that
can kill
lets him
anybody?
Kill people? Hell yeah, dude, I'm into that. Let's watch it. And that's kind of the reason why I like it. So Attack on Titan, Hajime no Ippo, and Sword Art Hajime no Ippo, Attack on Titan, and Sword Art. Those are my last three. Hajime no Ippo, honestly, I have nothing against the anime, but the thing about me is that I had this past year before we started the show, I was on a huge sports anime kick. We, being me and you at the same time, just not while the show was airing. We watched Haikyuu, watched Kuroko. I watched a little bit of Ice Shield 21. I like watched a bunch of sports anime, watched Free again. So like by the time it came around to watch Hajime no Ippo, I was kind of sports animated out.
Yeah.
You know, and again, nothing against the show. The show is awesome. And I feel like it does eventually build a compelling narrative for this character. I think, kind of that same feeling as Deku.
I think if you ever get around to actually watching Hajime no Ippo, it will go nearly up to 3 on your list for this season.
Again, I wouldn't be surprised. And the way I've heard from people, it kind of reminds me a lot of One Punch Man. My Hero, where the main character, Ippo, is a very relatable, very good character. It's hard to root against him.
Yeah. I think I just made that comparison. Like, Hajime no Ippo is the My Hero Academia of the sports show.
Of sports anime?
It really is. Yeah.
But yeah, again, nothing against that show. That show still gets like a B+ A for me, but like it didn't resonate with me the way the other ones.
That episode, yeah.
Here's the way you get a good rating for me in any form of media. Surprise me, tug at my heartstrings, or have good writing. Hajime no Ippo did all those things, but I've seen so much of it.
Yeah.
That it kind of dulled the knife for me a little bit. And then the last two are Attack on Titan and Sword Art Online. So these two shows, while still good in quality and still well-regarded in the anime community, I feel like I have a lot of problems with them overall. Attack on Titan, got soured on that because I read the manga right after the first season. First season, awesome. Great intro. One of these shows where it is also very similar to Death Note, where you show someone a concept that's fucking out there and you can totally latch onto that. Yeah. But I felt like, at least from the manga perspective after the first season, it dragged on a little bit and didn't give me what I wanted. And that's why I'll always have this weird sour taste in my mouth. So Attack on Titan, still good. I don't say you shouldn't watch it, just not for me after that first viewing into the manga. I hear season two is really, really good, though. So I might give that a shot. And then finally...
Season two's good, but it's nowhere near as good as season one.
All right, so that's Nato's review right for you. And then last one is Sword Art Online. We talked about it a little bit during your list, Nato, but my biggest problem is that woman in refrigerator situation. Again, we're talking about a female being a reward for a male character as a form of motivation, and I don't really like that in general. Obviously, it's in a bunch of media, right? And it is a problem in a lot of storytelling, but... I mean, I'm sure it even happens in Gurren Lagann, where, like, Yoko gets, like, stolen by a mecha, and then, like, Kamina has to save her. I'm sure that's definitely a moment, right? But to me, with Sword Art, it felt the most egregious, and that's one of the reasons why it kind of took away from me. Obviously, the female character in the show, I don't even remember her name off the top of my head, but she, like Nato said, she is compelling at the time, like, in the beginning parts of the season, but that, in general, just didn't like. Also, I didn't like how... the power balance worked in the show. I felt like there were no stakes because he had the pre-alpha build, which gave him all these weird abilities that made him dunk on everybody. And I remember that being an issue when I watched the season so long ago.
I was about to say, have you watched season one
not,
in a long time?
Not recently, but I watched the first episode.
Like, I'll give it from about season two onwards. Like, it works like that. But season one, like, it's that dread. Like, especially after that first episode where it's like, if you die in here, you die in real life. And, like, everyone just goes into this, like, supreme depression. There's characters killing themselves and stuff like that because they don't want to live in this world. Like, the stakes in first season are, heavy. Mm. So... I think it does change eventually, but...
Again, maybe I'm blurring seasons together, but again, I cannot... Again, it still gets like a B minus, right? Like, yeah. It's very popular in the anime community, and there are some people that really defend it. But for me, I watched it when it was coming out, and just did not resonate with me. Not a huge fan of it. And yeah, so that's my list. Again, the standouts for me this season were Yuri on Ice, Food Wars, and Kill la Kill. Gurren Lagann will never break that number one spot unless we're talking about Digimon, because, again, it just resonated with me in a special way. And don't roll your eyes, because that's the same thing you said about Yuri on Ice. Whether or not it's the best anime on this list, it will never break from that spot for me because it hit me at such an important time in my life.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think that is, do you have anything else to say, Nato, or do we have anything else to say, or are we done with
that list? On that note, that is my plan, my blueprint plan for season four, maybe, is... the big guns. I want to do like your Digimons, your One Pieces, your all of those in the fourth season.
The big boys, the gods, the anime gods.
The anime gods. Like, we're going to go through our tournament arc and we're going to come out strong and we need to go up against the big guns. So I want to do a deconstruction of Digimon, especially first season with you.
Hey,
so
season one is not my favorite season. That's a whole other story. You don't even want to get into with me. Okay. You really don't. Actually, my favorite season is Digimon Frontier.
Okay.
And also, ladies, I'm taken. You will not... I know every season of Digimon backwards and forwards. Speaking, fun story about that, actually. There was a museum a pop-up little museum for Digimon here in Tokyo. And I begged Cal. I was like, Cal, please, can we go? And she's like, yeah, sure, we'll go. So we go, and there's like a little booth that has like scenes playing from the first or second season. And the guy, he's like, oh, it's like a little quiz. Like, click it. Do you know the scene?
Wait.
Can you describe
the scene
to me?
Did you upstage the tour guide? Is that where this
story
there was
no one behind us or anything. It was just me and Cal. And then,
did you put on a suit and become the tour guide?
No. So the guy clicks the button, and he goes, so, do you know this scene? I was like, oh, this is from episode 5. This happens in the show. This happens from this scene on. These characters are in it. And then this is how the show ends. And the guy goes, oh, that's, wow, you know a lot. And then he's like, oh, do you know this one? Click. I was like, oh, that's from episode 9. These characters do this. This is what happens. And he just looks at me. He's like, all right, impressive. Good job, man. Like, he was genuinely happy for me. So that made me good. Made me feel good. So speaking of the tournament arc, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But actually, our next episode that we're going to be... Actually, wait, no. Before we even do that, do you have any thoughts about the season overall? Did you like these anime? Would you have done things differently? Or
no, well, this season was, like, made between us two and stuff like that. So everything on this list, I would... There's not one anime on this list that I wouldn't recommend for somebody to watch. Like, these are all anime that I put on this list that I thought, these are good ones if you have a friend that's starting anime. These are some really, really good ones to go, here's the first anime you should watch.
Yeah, very strong season. We talked about that before the show. Yeah. Like all these are really, really good. Like, you wouldn't be bad. You wouldn't be in the wrong if you said that you liked all these, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, just from my perspective, I had a blast this season watching all these things and being really surprised. Like, I usually am not surprised when it comes to watching anime, but
I know a lot of these things I chucked on this list because you hadn't seen them, or you were like, I don't want to watch these. So I was like, well, I'm going to put it on the list so you have to watch it now. Yeah. Yeah, like Kill la Kill was the big one for me. Like, I was like, I know you're going to love this, and Yuri on Ice. Like, I've been telling you for ages to watch Yuri on Ice, and I was like,
and every time
I'm putting it on this list. Yeah, I'm putting it on this list so you have to watch it. So I'm so glad that they got, like, second and third for you. Like, both of those. Well, second and fourth.
Well, second and fourth. My hero is three. But yeah, like, I'm very happy with how the season went. And speaking of that, if you out there in the Twitterverse or wherever, if you enjoyed the season, let us know. And obviously tweet us if you have any questions about, like, any shows you want to see in the future. But again, speaking of the future, Nato, do you want to tell us about what our plans are for October?
Yeah, I was going to do a whole month of a tournament, like a whole season of tournament arc. But I was like, no. There's some horror anime out there that I want people to get into, because horror is that genre that it's like people love to dive into it, or people are just fully swimming in the deep end. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people realize that anime has a lot, and I mean a lot of good horror anime. Some I would say is even better than Western, like, movie anime.
Horror movies.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah. I was like, you know what? Now, the first three episodes of this season coming up are going to be horror related, because in a couple of weeks it's going to be Halloween. So I was like, perfect. So we're going to be diving into some I picked three similar but very different ways of doing horror. Mm-hmm. We've got like a gore one. We've got a body horror one, and then just a straight up, like, spooky ass ghouls and goblins kind of horror.
So again, Nato just mentioned, since this month is October, we're going to be watching three anime to celebrate the season. So watch these with us this month. So the next episode we are going to be watching
Tokyo Ghoul,
one of my girlfriend's favorite anime. Great designs in that show. I really do recommend you watch it. And if you're not super into horror, I would still just give it a shot, because I feel like, for me, I love horror in general, but I know a lot of people that don't like horror movies with real people in them that can watch horror anime, just because it's easier to disassociate.
Yeah.
You know, like, when you watch a horror movie, you're like, oh God, like, it's a real person. Like, and it becomes more real for you. But for me,
also like, the gore's not as bad.
It's a little bit easier.
Like, something like a Hostel, if you did like a Hostel anime, it wouldn't be as bad. Like, having somebody's face half melted off and their eyeball hanging out, like in Hostel 2,
yeah.
I think that is.
Oh God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
But since you also mentioned this, speaking of episodes that are going to be coming up, you did mention this before, our next arc after this little Halloween hiatus, I guess, you called it the tournament arc. So I guess before we finish, I just want to do a quick preview of what that's going to be. So we are going to have a little tournament arc, meaning that we're going to have the World Warriors. So we are going to have people from Twitter, people we know, anime experts, or people just that like anime in general, come on here and talk about what anime they think deserves to be their number one. They're going to bring in their guy and say, hey, this guy is number one. They're going to bring in their Ryus, their Kens, their Zangiefs. We're going to have a tournament, and we're going to see if people can convince us why this anime that they're bringing to the table is going to be their number one. And that's going to be our next arc. So our third arc we did first was introductory arc. Second arc was the beach season. Third arc is tournament. So get ready for that after the Halloween episodes. So once again, if you didn't...
Oh my God, I've got the idea for season four's name. The Boss Arc.
The boss arc. Okay, so
because it's going to be a whole bunch of boss anime.
A whole boss fighters incoming. But yeah, so again, next episode, guys, we are going to be watching Tokyo Ghoul episode 1. So watch that and get ready to be spooped out.
Spoopy.
So once again, do you have anything to say, Nato, or are we all good? You have anything else to say?
No, I think we're all good and love each other and watch some anime.
Yeah, so again, if you don't know already, this has been A-Plus Anime. I am Ian. That was Nato. Thank you for listening. Love each other and watch some anime. Yeah. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, all.
Next time on A-Plus Anime, Nato continues to be Australian, and Ian realizes he loves sports anime a little too much. What anime will they review next? Find out next time on A-Plus Anime.